Dr. Buehrer has served on the DTS faculty for 12 years. He is an ordained minister. He teaches regularly at Trinity Bible Church in Richardson. He's ministered frequently with the Evangelical Alliance Mission in France. His research and teaching interests include Greek language and exegesis, the Gospels, and Jesus studies. His family life revolves around Melanie, his wife of 23 years, their three children, and the family dog and cat. And for exercise, Dr. Buehrer does karate. He is currently a third-degree brown belt. So I see that the most important things here are that you went to Georgia. And when you hear him speak, you're going to say, wow, I would kill for a voice like that. He's got a terrific voice. And I also happen to know a story that you don't know that I know about a student who lost a child and came to see me as chaplain and told me how gracious you were to him during that time in your class. So what a great combo. Michael, come and share with us today. God bless you.
Is from John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." I was recently reminded quite vividly through a couple of events that happened here on campus that I am not the most important person here. I know I was as shocked as you were. I thought that everything revolved around me, but apparently it doesn't. And so these two events, I think, will kind of give you an understanding of the shock and surprise I felt. At one point, I had an IT employee in my office helping me with something on my computer. And it was a slightly involved problem, and it took a little bit of time. And during the middle of her helping me, she got a phone call. And she said, "Oh, I have to take this. It's," and we'll leave the name blank. She immediately gathered up her things and walked out because this particular person had called. And so I thought, I've been shorted when it comes to the IT professionals here at the seminary. Another thing that happened is as I was trying to figure out what day I was going to preach during chapel this summer, Joe contacted me and said, "Could you go on this date?" I said, "Sure, be happy to do that." And then he contacted me and said, "There's been a slight change of plans. Could you go on this date?" And I said, "Happy to do so." And then he contacted me one more time and said, "I hate to ask you to do this, but could you go on this date?" And I said, "Sure, happy to serve." Come to find out that a certain employee of the seminary, who shall remain nameless, the same employee that called that IT person, had to have a particular day. Now, I don't want to tell you who that person was, but I'll just give you a couple of hints. There's not too many people on campus who have the initials MB, but I am one of them, and this employee is the other one. And this employee is very presidential, let's say, and really serves the Lord in a top of the organization kind of fashion. It really forced me to realize, you know what? There are certain people here at the seminary that are indeed more important than me, and I'm actually fairly happy with that. It is a situation that I think we need to be reminded about regularly when we are in ministry, that we are not the most important person in the room. In our culture today, as you know, with our cult of personality and our emphasis upon presenting our perfect self on social media, it is very easy to get fixated on that one thing we can say about ourselves publicly that will go viral, let's say, and really let everybody know how great and wonderful we are. But the unfortunate problem is for the believer, is that when something like that goes viral, it creates a virus inside of us, a virus of hunger for further acclamation, for further praise from people. It creates a situation that is really, if you think about it, antithetical to what it means to be in ministry and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a particular reason that we're called Christians and not Mikeans or Joeians. We are Christians. We are people of Christ. And our responsibility is to point people to our Savior and never to ourselves. John the Baptist got this. He understood this. He knew this deeply. And when presented with an opportunity to exalt himself, he taught his disciples what it truly meant to minimize self so that Christ can be exalted. So the disciple of Jesus has to learn how to minimize themselves in order to truly exalt our Lord and Savior. In the scripture that we're looking at today, it's a fairly simple narrative story. John is presented with a bit of a problem. He and Jesus were ministering in somewhat the same region. There was obviously some word of mouth, grapevine talk going back and forth between their two camps. And some of John's disciples came to him aghast that Jesus, that guy over there that John had been testifying about, was baptizing and everyone was going to him. It was as if the church down the road had just gotten started after John the Baptist's ministry and everybody decided to move down the street. But John took it in stride. There's three things I think that we can really understand from this situation and things that I'm going to ultimately apply to our lives as a result of looking at this. The first thing is to recognize that you will always be tempted to garner attention that should be directed towards Christ. That temptation will always come in ministry. I've been in ministry about 25 years in some form or fashion. Most of you have, some of you look close to my age. I about said something about your age that I probably shouldn't have. But at any rate, if you're my age, middle age, let's say, if you need bifocals, you've probably been in ministry about 20 some odd years. And it is a constant temptation to exalt self in ministry. In fact, I would argue that for me as an academic, it is much more pernicious now than it was at the beginning of my ministry when I started out as a youth minister at a small rural church. That is a dangerous situation to be in. It is a constant temptation to get attention for ourselves that should be directed towards Christ. Now, sometimes it may come to you from outside. This is what happened to John. His disciples came to him and said, "Hey, something's wrong. This Jesus guy, this newcomer, is getting all of the attention." But more often than not, that temptation is going to come from inside of you. You are not going to need anybody to come to you and say that you're not getting all of those hits on social media. You're not getting all of those tweets and retweets that you want to get. You'll know it, and you'll feel it, and then you will be tempted to do something to bring attention to yourself when you should be drawing attention to our Lord and Savior. The second thing that we can learn from this is that our role, like John's role, is to point people to Christ, to exalt him and him alone. That's what the example about the bridegroom is for. It's kind of an extended metaphor, if you will, about what John is saying about his place vis-a-vis Jesus's place. And he says very specifically, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. That's the special guy that we're going to pay attention to. Now, obviously, it's a little culturally different. In our day and age, we pay attention to the bride, but you can see the point. The people who are important at the wedding are the bride and the bridegroom, not the attendants, not the maid of honor, not the best man. They draw attention to the people involved in the ceremony, not to themselves. And so that's why John makes this comment about the friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hear him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Now, I think it's worthwhile to kind of have a little bit of an imaginative experiment about what this is like. John is picturing this as if the bridegroom has not yet arrived on the scene. And then when he does, he breaks into rejoicing. And this isn't just little quiet golf claps. This is, hey, he's here. The bridegroom is here. We can get started. The wedding can commence. It's a matter of shouting and exultation and jubilation that the right person is on the scene. And John applies this very specifically to his own ministry, that Jesus had arrived, his role was wrapping up, and he was ready to pass off the baton to our Lord and Savior. And that's the role that we must take up in ministry as well. We must acknowledge that our responsibility is not to engage in a cult of personality, not to engage in exaltation of self, but to point others to Christ in any and all aspects of the ministry that we undertake. That is what should bring us joy. Notice what John says at the culmination of the bridegroom illustration. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. We've got it inverted. We get excited when our Twitter count goes sky high. We get excited when we have over 1,000 Facebook friends. That's an inversion of the way it should be. We should be excited when people get turned on to Christ and ignore us. We should be happy to be ignored in ministry because we are pushing and moving people towards acknowledging and living out a life that loves the Savior. The last thing is an application of that particular point. We must learn to find joy in our decrease. I've got children in high school at present, and we're doing a lot of math at home. And one of the things that we've worked on recently are proportions. You can have something that's directly proportional and inversely proportional. As one thing increases, the other will decrease. That's exactly what John is presenting here. I hate to say it this way because we oftentimes can take this negatively, but when it comes to receiving glory in ministry, it is a zero-sum game. Either you get it or Christ gets it. You cannot share it with him. We must be willing to give him the glory, which means we must consciously minimize ourselves when it comes to ministry and service. We have to give primacy of place to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to consciously minimize our exaltation of self, minimize our place in the canon of attention, and give that entirely to our Lord and Savior. In terms of application, I think this passage is fairly straightforward. You might think that because of the opening illustration that I used, that I might say you shouldn't be jealous of others in ministry. That's a true point, and I will acknowledge that, but that's not what this text is saying. This text is saying is that we should give Christ the primacy of place in our ministries. And so this means there's two things that we have to do. One is sort of a general point, and the other I want to challenge you on specifically. You must always consciously minimize yourself in ministry. You will always be tempted to exalt yourself, to draw attention to yourself, to tell others what you have done, and you must consciously minimize that temptation. But specifically, I've mentioned several things about social media. That's where I think a lot of us fail. We use social media as a platform to talk about our ministries so that Christ might be exalted, but very often it can quickly turn to a swimming pool of self-indulgence. And so I'd like to challenge you this week. You're going to be doing ministry this weekend and next week. I would like to challenge you to not put anything about your ministry on social media. Stay off of Twitter for a while. Stay off of Facebook, Snapchat, WhatsApp, all those other things that the kids are using now. And just be quiet about what you are doing. And I think what you'll find is that Christ is often quite capable of giving glory to himself through what we do if we simply step out of the way and give him a chance. So that's my challenge to you. You have to consciously minimize your exaltation of self in order to exalt Christ. And so my application is don't put it on social media this week. Go on a social media fast as it relates to your ministry so that Christ can exalt himself through your ministry, not you exalting yourself at the expense of him. Now, I really didn't mind getting pushed around by Dr. Bailey in those couple of instances. Oh, I said his name. As if there were any doubt. And the reason being is because if he and I were to sit down, you know what he would say the ministry of the seminary is all about? He would say it's about exalting our Lord Jesus Christ. He and I are agreed on that. When we teach, when we do the administrative work of the seminary, when we counsel students, whatever the case may be, we both acknowledge that it's about exalting the Lord. And so I'm happy to defer to him. And I'm sure if the roles were reversed, he'd be happy to defer to me, because it's not about us. It's not about making sure that the seminary gets the most attention. It's about exalting our Lord in everything that we do. And so let me leave you with just these three small reminders. Find joy in your decrease. Minimize yourself in ministry and give Christ the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that John the Baptist can teach us what it means to truly minimize ourselves for your glory. And Lord, it's a hard balance to walk. We want others to know about you. We want others to hear about you and to come to know you and to glory in you just as we do. So, Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to do that, such that you truly receive glory and we rightly take our place as your servants who are standing off to the side rejoicing that you have arrived. I pray, Lord, that you would drive that home for us this week in everything that we do, whether it's social media or talking with others. Let's exalt Christ this week. Help us to do that in a way that honors you and brings people to you and truly glorifies our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.